Happy Monday to you and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Fulks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past week, we continued in our Now Playing series and we looked at the film Mulan. That was kind of our lens to look at the passage in Acts chapter 16. And there's this reality that, you know, Mulan was raised in a very patriarchal culture, and it was a time when, they were being attacked by the northern invaders that came, and so every family had to give a male to fight. Her father was really too old to fight, so she sneaks off and pretends to be a male soldier. And actually in her training kind of outskills all of her male counterparts in some ways. But really the plot twist comes when her enemy really sacrifices herself for Mulan. So the film really explores gender roles and societal stereotypes. But underneath it all, I really think it talks about identity. And what we said was that your identity is determined by your deity. In other words, what you believe about God will ultimately determine what you believe about you. When Paul starts the Philippian church, the church starts with really three individuals: a woman, a slave, who was also a young female, and a Gentile. And the reason that's a big deal, we talked through all of their stories, but really the reason that's important, that's a big deal, is because devout Hebrews started their day with seven prayers. Three of those seven prayers were, God, thank you that I am not a woman, a slave, or a Gentile. This was the launch team, this woman Lydia, this young girl who was a clairvoyant, and this Gentile prison guard. That was the launch team that you would never have chosen to plant a church in the ancient world. Now, what's interesting about that is that when Paul actually writes his letter to the Philippians, where this church was started, in the first five verses, Paul refers to the Philippians not as their societal context, not a woman, a slave, or a Gentile, but he calls them saints, servants, and partners. He says that you are a saint. You know, we have, for example, the Catholic Church that has a process for sainthood. You have to go through the beautification committee after you commit three miracles post-mortem, and you go through, like I said, now, this committee process to be declared a saint. Christianity says you only have to do one thing to become a saint. You trust Christ. You go from sinner to saint. You're not a slave. Paul says you're a servant in the kingdom. You're not an outsider, a Gentile, but you're a partner in the kingdom. And the reason that's important, those first five verses in Philippians, because in verse 6, he says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you. So in other words, society will try to, life will try to define you. And sometimes even you will try to lean into an identity that's not Christ. For some of you, you've been waiting on God for a long time and you're waiting on God to do what only He can do. And it's very difficult to wait and be patient. But I would just say who you are becoming is just as important as what you're waiting for. Waiting is an active thing, not a passive thing. So maybe you've been praying the same prayer for years and you feel like nothing is happening. You've got a child who's going in the wrong direction. What's the answer to that? Well, he who began a good work. Or maybe you have a habit, a financial habit, a sexual habit, a personal habit, and it's just killing you. It's wearing you out. You're thinking about giving up. What's the answer? He who began a good work. I'm not saying that you just put on a plastic smile and pretend like everything's okay, but you can have joy, this unique ability to express what will be, what you are certain will be, in what is. And what's amazing about Paul and Silas in this in Acts chapter 16 is they're planting this church in Philippi is that when they could have declared their rights, they didn't. Instead, they allowed the gospel to do the gospel, to do its work first, to the degree that they put themselves on display to the Philippians as servants. You know, when Paul writes his letter to the Galatians, his introduction is Paul, an apostle sent by Jesus Christ. When he writes to the Ephesians, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. To the church at Colossae, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. But when he writes to Philippi, his introduction is different. He says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. Paul defines himself as a ladder descender instead of a ladder climber. Don't get wrapped up in your label, because how these three people responded to the gospel is so critical. And you're thinking, Dean, you're overdoing it, right? A little bit, but not really. See, Paul had wanted to go to a place called Bithynia, But God told him to go to Philippi. And Philippi is the first church in Europe. So think about everything that happens in Europe, right? Martin Luther, John Calvin, Westminster Cathedral, the Sistine Chapel, Charles Spurgeon, the Gospel to America, Billy Graham, all the way to you and the kingdom. All of that started with the most unlikely of people in this launch team. In their culture, a woman, a slave, and a Gentile. So let me ask you, what does God want to do with your family? What does God want to do with your life group? What does God want to do with you at your job? What does God want to do with you at your sports team? I don't know all the details, but I know that the way up is down. It's for you and me to humble ourselves, and that God is waiting on us, because he who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of Christ. We don't add up the scores in this life, but on the day that Christ returns, that is when we know and see, when we sense the reward for the things that we have done. All this darkness will be broken up. God will mend all the brokenness. And the scriptures say that you and I will reign with him. Let's pray together. Father, we just bring our hearts to you today, and we say that we know we need humility. That God, we lean into you, to your identity, to what you say about us, that we're your sons and daughters, not what others say about us, not even what we say about us. That God, we know that we need you. So today, God, please fill us with your spirit. Help us to hear your truth, not the truth of what someone else says to us, or what social media says to us, or Lord, what anything else in our lives, our past says, how our past would try to define us. But Lord, that we would lean into your definition. Lord, I pray that today we'll uniquely sense your presence. Now you take the opportunity to pray.